my box, you know. So I wanted to find out who was that reads the foreword here. So he said that he didn't like the foreword as well as he liked the Welt. You know, it's called the world.
Yeah.
I think that's what he said.
Yeah.
But the Bernard of existence.
Were there talks? Is there talks still left?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Because if the talk was here, he would read it. Because evidently he needs a little more more story about the religion. Some of the people that were socialists that moved to Squirrel Hill, I didn't want the mailman to know they're Jewish. So they stopped the foreword. The foreword still goes to the Home for the Age, and people read it there. And the foreword is big now in Los Angeles and Chicago. Chicago had an edition of its own at one time. So the younger generation will not, but you get more news as a Jew from the foreword than any, including the New York Times. And my husband read the foreword every day before he read the paper, the press, because the whole world there, see, it's a non-profit paper. As long as the money lasts, they will not change it to a profit-making. So they have reporters all over the world.
So, all right, when did he get active in the UJF? Was that one of the first Jewish organizations?
See, when we, first of all, the UJF is young. In our estimation.
All right, then you take me back. That's how far
don't
back
forget,
I go.
I wish I'd know more about the, to tell you how the joint was organized. Mm-hmm. The joint distribution was caused by the socialists.
Right.
And I want you to know this. Very few people know it. And today it's the most highly respected organization the world over. And there was a man by the name of Vladek. This is a very good name. If you want me to treat you for lunch this Sunday to hear her daughter, his daughter talk, it would be a pleasure to me. Right here at lunchtime.
What's the daughter's name?
Also Vladek. I could give you her real name. She's also an unusual person. He spoke Jewish. Like poetry, you know, you love them for it. But he became an alderman in New York City with this terrible accent, but brilliant, that something like Kissinger, you know. Doesn't Kissinger always surprise you what he does with the words? That's the way this Vladek did. He became an alderman in New York. He was the first one to have public housing. He was the one that instilled public housing. On the east side, it was the first one in this country. You know.
So he was a socialist.
He was a socialist. You know, you're saying about Jewish socialists. And he was the fellow that was instrumental in organizing the joint distribution. It came, I believe, I wish I'd know more about it. I'd love to know more about it, because I got one baby after the other, and I wasn't in it. So, but it came right after the First World War. It was devastated. Europe was really devastated. And we had to have help. That was before Israel was anywhere close, you know. People in those days only wished they could go die there, not live there. Mm-hmm. And it's the most marvelous thing that the joint survives with that. And ART is another organization that was started by socialists. This is a very funny thing, but we weren't going anywhere. My husband, I still pay my husband's dues because it's a pleasure to me. Because he was, as I say, he couldn't afford it, but he joined. It was something had to be done, you know. Mm-hmm. You got to teach people trades. So, I was going to bring out something about this sword. It's so interesting. Oh, how did it come to Pittsburgh? Or how did it get to be so big? Mrs. Wolf, you must have known her. I don't know her place. She was the one. She had gone to New York and met some of these New Yorkers that were inspired by the idea of art. And she came back. She was a very active woman one time, and I hope she's still living.
Is this Irwin Wolf's mother?
No relation at all to that. They had a furniture store someplace, these Wolves. And anybody that's active in art will tell you what they owe there.
How many years ago was this about?
You know what any date you're talking about for it? That it became popular in Pittsburgh to...
Now, what about the socialists? When did art begin in New York?
In New York, if you want to count that the socialists had an art organization, it's probably 50 years. But when it started to spread all over the country, I have to tell you about this Mrs. Wolf so you'll get an idea. She came back and was talking about the fact that there's an organization that helps people to help themselves. And they had a few balls at the time, and Mr. Stock and I went to a few. Neither one of us were dancing, but Art had to be patronized. It was very interesting, the type of people that started to talk about, you're helping people to help themselves. You know, people that never realized how important it is to help somebody. This impressed them, that you help people to help themselves. And it's so big, and everybody... Would that answer this, the timetable? I think if you really needed it,
from Ort.
Yeah. And not that.
What about Council?
Council of Jewish Women, to me, as I see it, was always a great organization. I liked it very much. At one time, I was taking an active part. I wasn't a Mrs. Blumenthal, believe me. But I realized that they're doing a marvelous job. They don't need help from me. You know what I'm saying? Every cent was watched and measured. Everything was at a worth. You know, life is funny. I don't know whether they always had a scholarship fund. They called it a scholarship fund. And when they were 50 years old, they wanted to make a survey of how many people that were helped through school by Council of Jewish Women had become contributors, not only to Council, but to Human Society. Not one. They found that they heard from one fellow, and I tell you, if you think I'm a liar, they found there was one fellow that was active in the war in Spain, and he somehow became crippled. And he wrote them a nice letter. He acknowledged the fact that he was helped. That was a big thing. tell you another thing that is very interesting because you're both so young. My husband was also very active in the Dusky home.
Yes.
And the Dusky home was a wonderful institution. I'm going to come back to counseling in a minute. And when he was off, you run for 2 years, you're a member of the board for 2 years and get off. When he was off, because I think he would have fought against closing it up, because the social workers became so important, and they wanted, rather than having a place for them to go and have individual homes, the foster homes, see. And if you ever had gone up to the Dusky home and saw what a lovely life they had there, there were no torn rugs or broken furniture, or they had doctors and dentists, they got dancing lessons if they wanted, they had music lessons if they wanted them. And they had more or less a home life. They had to set the table, to learn to fix their own things. They went to public schools. Social workers didn't like that.
What did they, what do you mean
they didn't like that? This way they have more work to do than they have to go into foster homes to investigate them. And they don't, they're not always in a good home, the children.
Well, they were pushing for the children to leave the home to go into foster homes.
Yeah. And there was, there still is money there. The Guskies left the perpetual fund. And there is really no place for orphans now, unless they go. And I knew a woman at one time, I don't know anything about it now, but at one time, I certainly wouldn't have wanted my child, but when you're poor, you have no choice, I guess, to be raised by this woman, you know. She knew nothing, she understood nothing, just to feed them. And they were making, they were getting $7.50 a week, and they were making money on that. They did it for money, and they didn't like it. But the council, they always did a very high type work. They really met the boats. I don't know much about Pittsburgh at that period, you know. They really met the boats. They really helped them. Today, Hayas helps them. Hayas too was started by socialists. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can investigate that. Mm-hmm. But today, they all have somebody sponsoring them to come. But at that time, they made them as comfortable as they could, and with intelligence, not to look down on them, but to treat them as human beings.
Did you share in all of your, or in any of your husband's activities?
In all of
you were active also.
I can't say. I'm telling you, I was busy raising a family.
Yeah, but you were aware, and you...
And it was absolutely approved of. I couldn't do anything else. I mean, by my nature, you asked me, I fitted into the Socialist Party because when I was growing up and giving my mother arguments about religion, it always bothered me that the rich people get richer and the poor get poorer and they get all the diseases. You know, I could see all my life that this bothered me, and I didn't see no sense in going to a synagogue and praying and believing, and doesn't help those that need it. Pardon me for saying it. I don't mean to try to influence you at all. I just, that was my outlook on life at the time. And I said to Mother, if I'm going to be punished by God, I'd rather be punished for not believing in Him than for something I could do wrong. I cannot tell you why it is.
Well, when your children were older, then did you start to do any community work?
No, you become so strange to it that you can't go back. What really happens was this too. We always had friends in the house. We always had people we loved to discuss everybody's business, not in the gossip, but what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. But as the children grew up, they started to go to high school. They brought friends home. My house was open to them, mm-hmm. and the college and their teachers and their, I was very much involved with making a home for them, because I really envied every child. I used to go to work with girls, and on the way home from work they'd say, come up and have a cup of tea with me. I couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. I envied the people that had a home, that had a mother, and that could say that, you see? Mm-hmm. And this was uppermost in my mind, and I had, at one time in our life, I suppose, you heard of Sacco Vanzetti, mm-hmm. okay, see? Well, the liberal school, the people, the children at college, they were already in college. Were active in that group. And there was a dean of women, and I wish I'd remember her name.
At what school?
Teresa something. Teresa. And here at Pitt. So, and we had a meeting of the youngsters, young people, and she was the dean, she came. And she was trying to say to these young people, and I didn't interfere, I made no speeches, it was the children's world, you know. That even she gave $2 towards their for their fund to protect for lawyers, you know. But she'd say, you know, that she really doubted that they were innocent, and not to become involved and so on. But now the way history is developing, they are considered most innocently killed and never, see. And the socialists, though being very poor, they carried out a big campaign for their, because the anarchist movement was very active at that time. And if you knew the anarchists, you know you only wished that people could be as honest and as decent as they expect that they would be, without a policeman and without the, you know, long way from that. But you have to admire them, but they have that faith. And why would they kill, not for money, they wouldn't kill for money. They were supposed to kill the cashier, the fellow that was supposed to pay out the. If you know anything about the anarchists, and I went to their lectures, I wish I could feel that they didn't believe in marriage. They couldn't see why a priest or a rabbi could say something and keep you married unless your word to each other did that. But I think if you bring children into the world, you owe them a name. You can't think that what's going to be in the future. You have to protect them now. And there were books written at the time about the young people that were born of these marriages. They were very unhappy because they couldn't fit in society anywhere. But it was interesting.
What do you consider the high points and the low points in your life? I mean, what are you proud of? What your successes, your failures? Do you have any that you remember that you want to
to be truthful, I only know to tell you the truth. I was raised in a Jewish home where modesty and to be humble was one of the greatest tributes that, you know, and I could never feel that I am. I hope that I have influenced some, I'm not sure. I always said this, and I think I change your mind, whatever you're thinking, that you go out in the world and you're active. You're active in the hope that you're helping somebody. But nothing is sure of your accomplishments. Only if you devote this time to your own children, you can be sure you're going to contribute some good citizens. I think is important. I don't know. I tell you the truth. I don't know what's high and what's low, but if you can help society that way, I think it's very important.
Well, how do you feel about the Jewish community in Pittsburgh?
In which way, dear?
Well, do you feel that it's a growing community? Do you feel it's sticking together, it's doing good?
Do you think it's fragmented? You know, there are so many factions.
I could only say to you truthfully that it has improved so much in these years. In the years that I've lived here, that it always bothered me terribly that if you wanted to join Concordia Club, you couldn't do it unless you had some German blood in you. And I wish I could feel that they were a better species of people, but I couldn't feel that at all, you know. I'm telling you, the Galiciana, the Russians look down on all the other Jews too. You know, the Germans look at the down from the top. They're second there. And I tell you, the finest Jews, I mean fine inside, were the Polish. And they know that they were not rich. They didn't wait for tomorrow. This had to be done today. And you can't... I was so happy that Dr. Freya agreed with me. I missed him truly. Mm-hmm. And look, when you can say, you know, that the Jews came out of the walls, you didn't know they were Jews when the Jews were hurt in 67. And I imagine a great deal happened now again. The story hasn't come out yet, but it will. So as long as they feel that they have a responsibility.
The community, the Jewish community, you mean?
Yes. The people that lay dormant as far as...
Yes.
There's a lot of things I don't approve, believe me. But it isn't that they're doing anything wrong. I think there's a lot of... You take Lechem and Nehem, they put the baskets on their foot and their steps. There's always a way. Now, they haven't diminished the numbers, the Lechem and Nehem. I was talking to a certain young man, and he's a very popular doctor, and I said to him about Lechem and Nehem, apropos of the Hebrew Institute. And he said, what's Lechem and Nehem? And he also, you know, it's, you know, complaints pass on from one to the other. You're not giving enough money to education, all right? Jewish education. So
I said to this doctor, well, what do you think, for instance, the Hebrew Institute gets? He says about 50,000. And I says, it's close to 200,000. And what's his name, Kessler's bunch, he started with 12,000. He's getting close to 20,000, or maybe he's getting already 20,000. They're very generous. They give young people scholarship trips to Israel. And
now, who are you saying gives this money? UJF?
UJF.
Right. The Lechem Aniyim, that's bread for the poor. Is that what it
yeah.
means? Is that still functioning?
Yes.
It is.
But it's not... I don't know what it means, but I know yeah. they leave baskets for Shabbos.
Yeah, well, lechem means bread, I know that, and I think that means bread. But is there a separate organization, a private organization?
That's right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I tell you, it's fantastic. Ravian? What's the man's name that owns Blanks?
Yes, Rive.
Rive.
Yes.
He takes care of the books and does the. I don't know whether he does anything else. There's a niche for him. And about the Jewish hospital really bothers me. You really have to be rich to go in the hospital. And I want to tell you the truth. My husband borrowed $25 at that time to contribute to that hospital. Because the hospital was a frame house on the hill, you know?
Yes.
And everybody that had a few pennies and that could spare, help build this hospital. But, you know, the room that my husband used to love to go there, used to have a meeting in his office, and he's upstairs on the 7th floor that was at the time, I think it's the 5th, he paid $37 a day. It's over $100 now. Now, they didn't change the room, of course, they have added machinery to the whole.
Yeah, all of hospital costs have gone up.
It is so, but there's no place for people, unless they go to the clinic. And of course now a lot of it, I'm sure that Blue Cross and Medicare and all that really went to their heads. Because they're making money head over fist. They're not concerned anymore. They want to arrive at a certain pinnacle in the profession, not whether they help anybody or not.
What were some of your social activities outside of your home?
This is wherever there was a meeting or some kind.
That was your social life, too.
Nothing else mattered, really, for me. I was very sorry I couldn't go to hear this last night that you go to.
No, I heard you.
This bookbinder, I would have liked to tell him that I knew his mother and father. I want to know whether they're living. Because I said to my son, I was invited out for dinner to my granddaughter. And I think that's a privilege, to be invited to your granddaughter's house. So, anyway, he says, yes, I know him. He was a Yipsel. The Yipsel is a young people's socialist league. So I know it's the same people. Also, East Side, she was a neckwear maker, too. And I worked with her. Men's neckties. And so many of these people that have become concerned stem from the socialist movement. I hope that nobody holds it against them, because he's a professor. Where is it? At the head of the abort. Oh, yes, I know. I see names fail me so badly. And it still teaches in Detroit, or he got the title professor. And I'm so proud of these people that have made it and still kept the rest of the people.
Well, were the socialists interested in Zionism?
No, absolutely against that. I don't care. Who knows? And a lot of Israelis don't say they don't need the Zionists. What they're trying to do is run Israel. They haven't got much of a function now. It was all right when they were trying to get to be recognized as human beings, or a locale for them, or some. No, I don't. I don't want you to think that I spend any moment. It's the first time that I even said no, because nobody asked me. But years ago, there was a Silver, Rabbi Silver from
the young Silver,
not the old one,
Abba Hillel.
Abba Hillel. He was the first one that collected a lot of money for Israel. And I can't tell you how many years this is. And then he built a big building in New York for the society. They collected for Israel, Zionists, you know? And then and there are a lot of Zionists that would oppose that, because they have a connection. They feel as if they want to do something for Israel.
And all they can do is give money, really. That's all the Israeli really wants from America. They want to make their own policy.
They have to.
Sure.
Do you know that is a socialist state?
Sure.
They have to make their own policy. First of all, I got to tell you, our Jewish capitalist, the only one I know, for instance, Leon Falk, gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to Israel, but not in bonds, for research. He gave it to them. Didn't want something back. God forbid that they want you to buy bonds too, and because they need to develop this. It's beautiful what they've done and what they're aiming to do, but we have to face this, that every Jew would like to run the place themselves. You know, I've seen people that came back years ago didn't like it at all because it was a socialist state, and they restricted you from making too much money. And somehow, you know, people that want to manipulate, there are people there now that make too much money. You can't always
legislate.
Because they find ways of getting around it, like Nixon. We have good laws, but he knew how to manipulate them the wrong way. And this, they will not give up for the sake of money. They can't afford it, because if they didn't have a regulated system, they couldn't exist neither, because of the size of them, and they have to decide whether they need raw material of one kind more than they need of the other. We took a trip to Israel to Ort. And it was the most fascinating thing I ever saw. All these Ort schools.
It ended up with a conference, an international conference in Switzerland. But they are doing things for the country. Anything breaks down in the army, anything new comes out, anything, they do this for their country. It is such a beautiful thing. They're experimenting. There was one school they were in, and I don't know whether the roof only, the roof or the whole, was the slots somehow, with space in between. They didn't need air conditioning because the way they arranged these events, yeah, circulated and felt so cool. You know, it was very hot weather. So they experiment with everything. Or does not stop, they have to spend. And it's the most interesting to see the devotion of these people. And so they didn't organize priorities. And they found gas. They're making some airplanes. You know, it's just fantastic. I gotta tell you the truth. I never thought that I could find Jews that will enjoy serving one another. And it worried me because all of them have, they're too good for this or too good for that, you know. There, I felt very sorry for my Jewish maid in the one hotel. She looked very pale, and I said to her, Jewish, you know, that she asked her whether she don't feel good, and she said she had a bad headache, and I gave her some aspirin, and she kissed me. Had five children at home. Her husband works, and she works. The wages are very low there. That's why I called. So, you know, I felt sorry for that she had to do it. She didn't feel sorry for herself. She was in Israel 7 years. She came from Romania. And, you know, the taxi cab driver and everything. And they're so happy to help you. Everybody is. And, you know, they never had to be president or vice president or secretary of state. They're so brilliant. Where did they get it? They had no experience and no place to learn. And where did you see such a soldier, such a fighting? Only because their whole heart, their kishkas are in that.
No place to go in there. That's it.
And you know they were always considered lazy. Luftmenschen, they called them.
Oh.
You know? My father was a Luftmensch. He never worked. He had buying and selling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They called him Luftmenschen. Didn't work with their hands. And those people that could work with their hands built this country.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget there was a Milgram. Made a suit for me when William was born. He became one of the biggest stylists and all on the East Side. They all started on the East Side, these great designers of things. I don't know, I felt so good on the East Side, you know? It was, every block was sufficient unto itself. You could get a hat made to order or a dress made to order. Tell you, I saw it on television, where 12, 14-year-old children couldn't read. They never saw a picture or a newspaper or a book, never saw it. In New York City, in Brooklyn, and it was Stuyvesant. Stuyvesant used to be chock full of Jews, and you can bet you about an hour the Jews grew. I mean, mental. Then
couldn't read. They couldn't keep them seated in the seats. They would walk around. They would dress neat. And they brought down a professor from New York City University. And he said that you have to act with them in order to use words. They couldn't use words. And we had them here too.
You mean the black children?
The black children. And these disadvantaged children come from such poor people.
Well, they come from countries like Morocco and the Yemenites.
Yeah.
Where they just aren't used to the Western culture.
Didn't even know how to use a tongue.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And of course, their reading was poor, and so they're teaching them.
And they, you know, there was one colored teaching among those. He said to this big man, he says, I didn't go to college to push a swing for them, and because they told me you go out in the playground with them. And play with them and ask them what they're doing, how to do. You know, I couldn't believe it till I saw that this could happen in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they talk about disadvantaged children, I think about that.
Yeah. Well, it's a similar situation. And they're using a lot of the techniques that they've learned in the Israel school in other countries. Mm-hmm.
It is a marvelous country. It just and nobody likes to shed blood. Just and truly, it'll sound as if I
That's all right.
Because I never because everybody's got wonderful children. You know, it's the truth.
But we're asking about yours, so it's legitimate.
She is so well known in Baltimore that it's just unbelievable. Because her children went to school there, grade school they started. And she helped change Boston into an integrated school.
You mean Baltimore?
Baltimore.
Yeah. Oh.
And there was no friction. There was no yes or no. It just happened. It was because she wouldn't even take credit. It's just unbelievable. She was instrumental in raising a big sum of money. She also is involved with the unions. And with the unions, whatever you do for the working people, they'll help you do it. And you meet these union people there. And you also meet society there, judges and things like that. And, got a finger in everything.
What's her married name?
Freeland. But it's very interesting because a lot of, they had even more destruction in Baltimore. They put up new housing for the poor, and what they built the day they tear down at night, and things like that. Anyway, she thought that there should be a center for these people to play, to take music, to take art, to take dancing, whatever. And the union helped her with this money outside. And I haven't seen it yet. The way she explained to me, I'd love to see it. It's a school within walls. It's a big yard, but the yard is enclosed with a very high wall.
Hmm. So it's a school for children? And for adults?
It's not a school, it's a playground. It's like a combination of the Y and the I.
It's a center, yeah.
It's a community center for it.
Oh, very
good. And she, by profession, is a teacher? Or?
No.
What is she?
She teaches now she got her master's degree. She went for a master's degree after she was 45. They wasn't going to take it, but they took a chance. And she's teaching what's the hospital name?
Johns Hopkins.
She taught before children
that wanted to go to college and lacked
the film.
She taught them, but it was too hard for her. She
that could be outreach or outreach.
But now,
what did she teach at Johns Hopkins?
City government and state government.
My goodness.
This is her. She was on a, they had wanted to change the Constitution. You had to run for, as a member, she was on that. And they were not accepted after they met for months. I mean, they had to vote on it. The public had to vote on it. But she was elected on a public vote for that. And the funny thing, William's daughter moved to Baltimore for a few years only. He's taking up some kind of a dental work, my grandson. So, and they're very skeptical about renting nice places for them. So Leah went with her, just to show her where they are, you know. And they wouldn't recognize her right away. They weren't going to rent to them.